On Air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
Hello, hello, everybody. I'm George Adair. We do the show every Wednesday at noon. Turn my volume up here. There we go. It is live radio.
Okay, cool.
I got Todd Walling in studio with me. Hey, Todd.
Good afternoon, George.
Oh, I have to turn up.
I went early on Todd.
See, I wasn't quite ready.
Live radio. Here, we're going to hit reset.
And begin again.
And begin. Hey, everybody. I'm George Adair. Thanks for tuning in. We do the show live, if you didn't notice. You can always stream it at ksro.com.
Yes.
I think that's important for people to know because sometimes you can't get the AM signal. Or check us out at 103.5 FM and get crystal clear FM signal quality.
Mm-hmm. And
94.5, depending on where you are.
Yep.
Try one of those three numbers out.
You'll find us.
You'll find us. And then hit preset. Hold it in for 2 seconds until you hear boop. And then you know you got it locked in.
Nice.
We are here talking with Todd about market movement, market activity. Article in the Press Democrat. We'll get his opinion on that today as well. A little bit is just getting an idea about median home prices and affordability. We're also on Facebook. Thanks for everybody for tuning into Facebook. Hey, Michelle, how are you?
I'm good.
Did you canoe in today or did you ride the Vespa?
No, I made it between the rain squalls.
Uh-huh.
So
squalls.
I have to time things that
way. Good word.
Thank you.
That's like an East Coast Cape Cod word.
Well, because I'm from the Pacific Northwest, so we have 14 million ways to talk about rain.
Yeah, and cool. We got 4 inches last night. So
really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it was raining all night long.
Yeah, I'd like to let everyone know that we are now $22 trillion in debt as a country.
Wow.
That's great. That's up from $12 trillion 10 years ago.
Oh,
way to go, America. And consumer debt seems to be growing, too.
Really?
And if you didn't know, I'm in the debt creation business. I help people obtain home loan debt.
You're like, yeah, debt.
Yeah. You know, I like transitioning debt, though. Folks that have high interest credit card debt or high interest auto or student loan debt, I like to help them get it into mortgage debt.
Mm-hmm.
Because mortgage debt's the cheapest kind of debt out there. It's very stable. We put you into a 30-year fixed. You can take cash out to pay off those credit cards. You have this thing in your home called equity where it goes up in value. And the difference between the equity and the amount you owe, you can get some cash. So if you're interested in learning more about that, you can always call me at 707-583-8100. 707-583-8100. We'll talk to you about how to move high interest debt into lower interest debt, again, by getting a cash out refinance because interest rates are still really good.
Mm-hmm.
We're quoting people APRs in the mid fours on a 30-year fixed. Pretty good.
That's not bad.
Not bad at all. There's a lot of new activity in the home market where people are starting to be competitive and they're placing multiple offers on property and we're helping them win.
Nice.
I'm going to talk with Todd about some strategies to win.
That is true.
Todd Walling, you're with Keller Williams. Tell our listeners a little more about you.
I am. I'm with Keller Williams. I'm in the Fountain Grove office.
Uh-huh.
I've been there since July 2017.
Yep.
Previous to that, I was with Joe Pfeffer at Solid Properties.
That's
great guy,
Todd,
to work with.
Say hi.
Hello,
I know.
Everyone.
I said you looked handsome today.
Thank you.
You look great for radio.
Thank you.
No, I did.
I combed my hair today.
Nice.
Thanks for rubbing it in, dude.
And then
I don't have hair.
Previous before that, I was a real estate appraiser. Excuse me. Since 2002,
yeah.
I got into the business and did that for a long time. And then in 2012, I decided to get my broker's license and take my experience as a real estate appraiser into real estate.
We call that, that's when you became liable.
Yes.
Got the broker's license.
Yeah. Became liable, became responsible.
You became responsible.
Yeah.
Started
wearing a shirt with buttons on it for the first time and actually
you're a handsome fellow.
Visiting
you
with
wear,
people.
You should wear something with a collar. Looks makes you look good.
Thank you. Thanks, George.
So since then you've been blending both careers.
I have.
And you are, I would say, have superior knowledge over some of your peers, many of your peers, about how properties are evaluated. How they can be listed and what price they can be listed at, I should say, and the factors that go into establishing value.
Yes, and not just value either, George. I mean, that's definitely a. It's great to know value, especially when you're listing a home and you're getting ready to take a listing. You obviously don't want to take a house. You don't want to overlist a house. The other
but some agents like to underlist a house too.
That's a great strategy to do, especially in a shifting market, is to get as many people to look at the house as possible. In fact, I sold one, a house that you're familiar with. You did the loan on it.
Uh-huh.
We sold it, did a 15-day close, and went $51,000 over asking price in a market that
they're happy.
Typically that wouldn't happen with seven offers. So it does happen if you price the home competitive, and the house has to be, you know, has to be in good shape. It has to compete with a lot of houses out there right now.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing is comparable sales are a factor in establishing a list price. Mm-hmm. And in the lending side, we require an appraisal. It's not required for your contract, but the lender requires one. Mm-hmm. And so we look at comparable sales as well. And so our eyes are looking at the same data, but I will say that appraisers tend to have to look backwards in time because they're looking at data that could be up to 6 months old. How do you square that up with what's happening with current listing trends?
Well, you have to put time adjustments in there for the current trends, which a lot of times they are hard to quantify. They're very difficult. Uh-huh. So actually, right now, from an appraiser standpoint, it's probably a little bit easier to do an appraisal now than it would be in a rapid increasing market.
So stability makes it a little more predictable.
Yes.
For you. Yes. You're speculating on a month-to-month basis, 1.2% increase month over month or something like that.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. And so what are some of the market trends that we're seeing right now?
Well, right now, like compared to a year ago, just for instance, back in January of 18, we had 434 homes for sale. And as of 2 days ago, we have 705.
Whoa, so the inventory is up about 80% increase in Sonoma County. Yet I'm seeing a lot of enthusiasm in the market.
There
more buyers than there were maybe even a year ago.
There is. Well, there's a lot more to choose from, too. I mean, you're not... You can almost choose what color carpet you want in the house.
So what role? How many whats can I say?
What could Chuck wood?
I messed that up too. I'm really sorry. I want to apologize to my listeners. But you had to hear that. So, what role does the stabilization of home prices and even the declining in home values play in stimulating buyer activity?
Well, I think there's a lot of people that were on the fence that have, you know, they've been waiting for years for the market to correct.
Yeah.
For the last 11 years, let's say. Yeah. They've, you know, they've been renting for 11 years. In some cases, that equates to $170,000 in lost money that you've put towards rent.
Right.
Anticipating that the market was going to go down.
And I think you're being conservative on the 170.
Yeah, that's very conservative.
Yeah, you're renting like a studio, right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
In all reality, people
rent
were
a studio
throwing
for about
away.
$1,000 a month, yeah.
People are throwing away is not fair. That's the wrong term. But you're not investing, right? So you're paying rent, you're diverting money from your paycheck into somebody else's mortgage or into theirs. It's never coming back to you.
No.
Today, though, affordability plays in. People look at, hey, interest rates really haven't increased, have not increased to the levels that economists, even myself, that I thought we'd be at a higher rate range than we are now. We're still in the mid fours.
That's a great rate.
And the difference between 4.5 and 5.5 on your average home could be a few hundred bucks a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so affordability plays into it. We saw home prices peak out at what, around 730 last summer? Was it in July? About 730?
Yeah, 730.
And then now we're down to what? What's our median home price today?
560.
Probably?
564.
That's much more reasonable.
564.
So all of a sudden, boom, everyone's like, I can get into this market. Mm-hmm. Rates are flatter than I thought they'd be or that buyers would thought they'd be, and homes are more affordable. Mm-hmm. And so we're in this marketplace of 5-6 buyers coming to the table. So how does a buyer win? How do they get their offer accepted? What are some of the factors that play into them getting their offer accepted?
Having the, first of all, the best offer. It's not necessarily the highest offer either. It's the quickest close is usually probably the best way to get your offer accepted.
Okay.
Because whoever's selling their house, they've made up their mind. They've been on the fence for a long time.
And they're like ready to go.
They're ready to go.
Or they're waiting to buy something else. They can't until they
sell. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So they're done. You know, so the quickest close is probably one of the best ways. If there's multiple offers, of course, you want to be in the top end of that. You don't want to be at the bottom.
It's like a softball. I just pitched it.
No.
Boom. And I knock it out of the park. Listen, we do fast closes.
You do.
We do. That helps, doesn't it?
15-day close, I think
We've done them. You know, I actually have a good story. I was talking to a friend of mine today. I can't name it because we haven't gotten into contract yet. But he said, hey, they got 6 offers today, yesterday on a property. And they're reviewing them today with the seller. And he called me. He's like, hey, George, I got this offer. Glad to see you're the lender on it. I want you to know that I'm pushing the seller to accept your offer because you're the lender, and I know you'll get it done fast. I'm not embellishing at all. That's exactly what he said. And he said, in fact, there's 2 other offers that are higher than your buyer's offer, but I'm not working with an internet lender. I'm working with you.
Yep.
And so I'm going to push the seller to accept your offer. Now, the seller might go, oh, I want the extra money and take their chances. That's not up to him.
Yeah.
Do you have those conversations as well where you look at more than just price?
Absolutely.
So when you present the offer, and it's got all these components, what areas, so speed to close is one of them. What other areas can a buyer look strong?
Speed to close, who the lender is.
Okay.
What their track record is.
You've worked with them before, if they... You know, do you ever go on social media or do you ever ask around about lenders too?
All the time. Yeah. Everybody in the industry talks about who the lenders are, who are the good ones.
Right. Who are the bad ones? That's the list you don't want to be on.
Yeah. And there's other reasons for that too. I mean, I don't want to, you know, back during the really bad times back in 2008, 2010.
Yeah.
There were a lot of companies that were leaving, I think, a lot of lenders out so that they kind of got a bad reputation at the time. But
I think so. We left people at the funding table because one loan wouldn't fund, the first would fund, the second wouldn't. Crazy.
Yeah. So there's that. But no, I mean, everybody knows who the good lenders are in the area, and we all talk to each other.
Sure.
And you know.
So I have an announcement.
You do have an announcement. You want to make this?
Yeah, I want to make it.
Are you having a baby?
So why does it show? Does it show?
Another dog.
You're so rude. No, my announcement, not another dog. I am no longer partnered with my former company. I am now partnered with Cross Country Mortgage.
Congratulations.
Huge news.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So I had been with my previous company, partnered with them doing loans for 10 years, and they were fantastic. But it was time for me to kind of get a refresh, get a rebrand, work with another lender in town that is really making waves. Cross Country Mortgage is fantastic. And you know how we're doing 15-day closes?
Oh.
Because we pre-underwrite the file, and we get them fully approved so that they don't even need a loan contingency. How about that?
Perfect.
All they need is appraisal, title, and insurance. Boom. So anyways, Cross Country Mortgage, that's my new shingle.
Nice. How can people contact you?
They can still call me at 583-8100, 707-583-8100. That's my commercial. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to go to real commercials right now. We'll be right back on air with George Adair and Mr. Todd Walling from Keller Williams. Handsome fellow over there. We'll be right back. Stick around.
On air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
I don't know about you, but around this time of year, I really start worrying about my parents. I love them dearly, but it's simply become too difficult to care for them at home. I worry about them falling, eating 3 square meals a day, taking their meds, and frankly, about becoming too isolated. That's why I'm so happy that I visited Springfield Place in Petaluma. I've been to other communities and found them to be different. But at Springfield Place, I was greeted by a vibrant and caring staff that felt like family. My parents are so much happier, and they've settled in at Leisure Care. The team there and other residents treat them with dignity and respect. They still have lots of independence, but at the same time, they're very supported by the staff. I no longer worry because I know they're having 5-star fun, eating healthy, exercising, and enjoying social events like live music and dancing. Leisure Care at Springfield Place is the place to be for my parents. Go online to leisurecare.com or call 707-769-3300.
It's been called shell shock, war neurosis, and battle fatigue. Today, we call it post-traumatic stress disorder, and it affects 1 out of every 5 warriors returning from battle in Iraq and Afghanistan. The Wounded Warrior Project offers comfort and support for warriors with PTSD and all other scars of war, whether those scars are visible or hidden. Find out how to help, because for warriors, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. Please visit WoundedWarriorProject.org.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Joan London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. It's a free service, and we've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad. There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-391-1755. That's 1-800-391-1755.
On air with George Adair on News Talk 1350 and the new FM 103.5 KSRO.
And we're back. Thanks for joining us. I'm George Adair. We do the show every Wednesday at noon. Not every noon. just one of them on Wednesdays. And you can always check out prior shows at ksro.com. Under the Ask the Expert series, you'll get to see all the recent podcasts that we've done there. Share them with your friends. You can also go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/GeorgiaDareLender, because that's what I do. I work for a company called Cross Country Mortgage, and we make home loans available to people. And we're in studio today with Todd Walling. He's of Keller Williams. Todd's a great guy, friend of mine, good guy to have a beer with, good guy to do a transaction with. Todd, how do people get a hold of you if they want to talk about listing or buying a house?
707-695-7263. That's my direct line, my cell phone number. Or you can email me at toddwalling@kw.com.
Spell Walling.
W-A-L-L-I-N-G. First name Todd, T-O-D-D.
Got it. Cool. Thanks for joining us today, Todd. I appreciate it. Looks like we have a caller. We don't usually do calls anymore, but hey, Jim's got a good conversation starter here. Go ahead. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling in. How can I help you?
Yes, hi. I have a question. Can I swap an equity line of credit out loan with another one? And the property is a rental.
Yeah, so a home equity line of credit is typically a second position loan. Is yours a second position?
Yes.
Okay. So what you would do is simply treat it as a new refinance. Typically, a bank is the best place, or a credit union is the best place, to get a home equity line of credit. You go in there, they're going to assess the value. They might do it just based on a desk appraisal, or they're going to order a full appraisal and they send a guy out like Todd to appraise the property. As long as there's enough equity behind that second, so let's say the home is worth $600,000 and they want 20% equity, so they're going to make a loan up to a total of $480,000. So we take your first loan plus a smaller second, and you can refinance just the second without touching the first.
Oh, so the first one does not have to be touched.
Correct. Now, you may want to look at touching the first. What I do is a full analysis, Jim. I look at what the first payment is, how long you've had it, how much you're paying towards principal, and then I look at the second. Seconds are almost always adjustable rate mortgages, so they're going to fluctuate with market volatility. If you plan on having a really large second, then I do look at refinancing the first. How much is your second right now?
$74,000.
$74,000. If I may, how much is your first?
Around $240,000.
Yeah, you know, it might be worth looking at refinancing, because that second is the equivalent of about 30% of your overall debt on the property. And that's a big number to have in a volatile marketplace, where the prime rate could continue to go up. Because as prime goes up, so will your payment on your home equity line of credit. Other thing to remember, Jim, is the line of credits are typically interest only. So you end up with a big bill due in 10 years. You might have a balloon payment, or you'll reassess to a 20-year payment, which also is an increase.
So it's one more thing too. The first loan is a loan modification I had done about 6 years ago.
Yeah. And so the loan modifications, gosh, there were so many variations of that. If it was under the HAMP program, you might've gotten some principal forgiveness. Did they forgive any principal?
Yes, they did.
Wow. And congratulations.
3.2. I can't replace that.
So. You can't. And that's an absolute consideration, is you keep that rate where it is, and then you look at doing a second. There's some really great credit unions in town that'll make a second to you, or a bank. You should not pay anything more than prime plus maybe a quarter. Prime plus quarter, prime plus a half at the most. They do want you to have good credit, and they want you to have the value. So I hope I've been able to answer your questions.
Even on a rental?
So on a rental, each bank is going to have their own requirements. What they may do is lower the ceiling to 70% of the total value, and some may not even offer the program. But there are banks and credit unions that will make a home equity line of credit on a rental.
All right. Well, thank you for the info.
Hey, thanks for listening to us, Jim. Appreciate the call. You know, Todd, that's something I deal with a lot, is people who have questions about how to manage their current debt. Do they refinance it out? Put a combination loan together where they have a first and a second, or do they just combine the two? You got a loan at 3.1 or 3.2%, and it's probably a 40-year loan or a 30-year loan because it was a modification. Jim shouldn't touch it.
No,
that's a great
no.
That's a great deal.
Yeah,
right. Even if he's in a volatile second position. It brings me to the question of the chicken or the egg issue, right? Mm-hmm. Some people call it bridge financing. How do you get equity out of your property and then use it to buy another property? This is something that you probably run up against all the time.
All the time.
And what do you usually recommend people look at? Call a lender.
Exactly. And what's your credit score?
What's your credit score?
Do you have a pre-approval letter?
Call George. He'll figure it out.
Who are you working with? People do that all the time. I haven't seen it too much personally, mm-hmm. going out to do an appraisal and seeing people drain all the equity out of their house to buy an investment property, especially around here when investment properties are kind of at a premium.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you that one of the strategies that we see is I can finance them through it by doing a second on the departing residence that they live in.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they can use that cash and then go buy a new owner-occupied house. And then they don't need to worry about selling that house first, as long as they can qualify for both payments. If they can't qualify for both payments, then they have to sell and then make a contingent offer on the new house, right?
Exactly.
But then there's another chicken of the egg issue, right? Like, I can't sell before I buy. I got to have a place to live. So what do? Well, rent-back agreements.
Rent-back agreements, contingencies.
Yep. Contingencies are less popular if there's more buyers, though, right?
There are.
So basically, if you have buyers, you know, three or four buyers competing for an offer, and you're a buyer that needs to sell your house first, the seller's not going to be keen on that.
That's when you go to the house that's been sitting on the market for more than 200 days and you write an offer on it.
Right.
And you let them, you know, then you do a rent back for an extended period of time.
Yeah. Well, or you give them a free rent back, right? That might make you look good.
Free rent back.
Free rent back. Essentially, that's where the seller remains in possession. That's the name of the document. Seller remain in possession. And they rent back. Now, us as the lender will allow that situation to occur as long as our buyer can move in within 2 months. That's the key. You got to move in with 2 months, right? If you're not moving in 2 months, it becomes an investment property. Yep. You got all kinds of issues. So I want to talk more about where the market's at. Mm-hmm. We talked about that. The home prices have evolved down over the last several months. Inventory has gone up.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think we're going to see a spring bounce in values again?
Well, I do believe we are. And it's kind of interesting you talking about investment properties. I think there are going to be some people jumping off the fence that might be taking some equity out of their homes, mm-hmm. and buying investment properties.
Yeah.
Because I think the consensus is that maybe prices have leveled out. There might be a little wiggle room a little bit. There's going to be some seasonal trends possibly.
Yep.
But the economy seems to be going strong. We're still behind the rest of the Bay Area when you look at the prices of Sonoma County. It's
huge influx of people. They're leaving the peninsula.
Yeah.
A lot of retirees are taking the equity, right? Equity, again, is a simple formula. What it's worth, what do you owe? That's your money you take with you. They're coming into Santa Rosa. They're buying up spec property now.
Mm-hmm.
They're also buying lots and building.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What a great opportunity for someone to get out from under their lot that they don't know how to build. And then someone comes in and helps them relieve them of that lot. And then it's a great, healthy market. That's the free market.
I think this is a very healthy market. I think this is, if I was a renter and I was looking to buy, or if I was even an investor, I think I would be getting into it right now, just because there's so many people that, or not so many people, but there are people that are leery of the market.
Yeah.
When they're leery, that's when you need to be in.
Yeah.
So
we're going to see a spring bounce.
I think it's interesting. Again, I'm going to go back to my numbers that I pulled.
Yeah.
And we were looking at last January,
uh-huh.
we had a 1.5 month supply. Now, this January, we're at a 2.7 month supply.
What does that mean?
That's almost twice the inventory what we had last year. So
it takes 2.7 months to clear out all the inventory.
2.7 months to sell those houses. So we're going to be going into March, April with some inventory. And I expect those numbers to be higher, actually.
Okay.
I expect our inventory levels to even get higher than that into our buying season. So it's going to be a great time for somebody to go in and write an offer on something that they might not have been able to have, you know, since 2012. They haven't been able to get this house.
What's the order of operations? Let's talk about it. You got that buyer. You're telling a story, right? The market says, come in, bring your offers. You want to buy a house. What's the order of operations for the buyer?
Oh, are you going FHA or you're going conventional? First thing, if you're going to go FHA, you got to make sure that the house is going to meet FHA guidelines, which that's where I come in, because
what does that mean? We're going to tangent that real quick. Meets the FHA guidelines.
Well, the house typically has to be in FHA guidelines. They have higher guidelines than, say, conventional lending. They have certain requirements.
So they look in the attic.
They look in the crawl space.
They look in the crawl space. They're looking for peeled paint.
They're looking for peeled paint. They're looking for especially peeled paint for lead-based paint.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They're looking at the life of the roof. They want the appraiser to comment if the roof has at least 20 years left on it.
So you're an appraiser.
Yeah.
You've appraised many, many properties.
More of an agent now, but yes.
And you can use your appraiser's skill to help listing agents prepare their
absolutely
property.
And that's something that I do for the agents in my office all the time.
Take a look at properties.
Get routine questions all the time. If it's lendable, will this pass FHA?
Yep.
Or they'll have me come out there and just take a look at it. Like, hey, is this going to fly, or you know, is this going to be okay? And yeah. You can tell. Yeah, you can tell. I don't even like writing an offer on a house if my client's going to be FHA and the house is kind of questionable, and then you're going to have to change product midstream. That tends to upset everybody.
Big issue, right? Don't submit an offer conventional and then switch it FHA without pissing off the sellers.
It upsets everybody.
And the sellers are going to know because they have to sign a seller's FHA amendatory clause. Yeah. They're going to know.
And as a listing agent, it's really frustrating. It's because now it's a
bait and switch.
It is a bait and switch.
Or how about when someone starts with a local lender and then the buyer starts shopping around and finds an internet lender deal? What's the listing agent going to do?
They're going to be stuck with that.
They're going to be frustrated.
They're going to be frustrated. They're going to have to ride that out. That agent is going to be frustrated. That's why, you got to work with your buyers. You got to make sure that you wrangle your buyers and you got them under control, that they're not going to go shopping at the last minute. I mean,
it's the worst thing to do.
That's like buying a car before switching lenders is like buying a car before you close escrow on your house.
Yeah. Don't do that. Don't buy big purchases before you buy a house.
Yeah. Don't finance it. You can buy it. Don't finance it or take the money out of your account.
Yeah, that's it. Don't use the cash you're going to use for your house. Well, folks, it was a good show today. We had Todd Walling, Keller Williams. How do people get a hold of you again? Give your number out.
707-695-7263.
695-7263. That'll get you straight to Todd. And we'll have you back on the show.
Excellent.
Looking
I'd
forward
love to
that.
Back.
You did great.
I like radio. It's
we
fun.
Worked out. We worked out the jitters.
Yeah, we did. We worked out the jitters.
You did a great job.
Yes,
folks. Give Todd Walling a call. He's a friend of mine. He does a really great job for his clients. We got to go. I'm getting the hook. Thanks, Michelle. We'll see you next Wednesday, folks. Bye. Be safe out there.